Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be, hopefully, talking with Jan Schwartz and her wonderful book, Oscar, that we are going to be talking about. It's the last summer with Oscar. We have not been able to reach her so far. So we're going to start the program on anyway, and I want to let you know that later on in the hour, if you want to give me a call, you can, and the call-in number is going to be 888-627-6008. Well, today I am in Anchorage, Alaska, where it's not snowing like in Fairbanks, but the temperatures are dropping. It's a warm, balmy minus 8 degrees, and it is going to be cooling down substantially in the days to come. But it's a funny thing. When you're in this part of the country, you start getting the feel for the upcoming holiday season, which before we know it is going to be just right in front of us. And I was passing, as I was being brought in to my location by cab, I was passing houses that were decorated with all kinds of Halloween paraphernalia, and it was just absolutely wonderful. I will say that the people in Alaska have such an enthusiasm, maybe it's because of their long, dark nights, but they really love their decorations and get into the feel of the holidays, whatever it might be, with a vigor and zest that is enjoyed by all that have the opportunity to see it and to view it. Because we were going to be talking with Jan today about dogs and animals, I wanted to start off the show, since we're still trying to reach her, with a story about a lion. Now, how many of you would have ever imagined that, well, people would keep lions as pets? Well, that's just something that is beyond me, because these adorable cats, when they're kittens, are just wonderful. But they get to be pretty big. Well, I've got a story here about a lion, Jupiter. He's a little bit over 13 years of age. He weighs a very trim 550 pounds, and his story begins in 1999. He was rescued by a woman, Anna Julia Torres. She rescued him from a traveling circus in Colombia. Now, she was 50 years old when she found this little lion cub, and she decided she was going to take him and to make sure that he was going to be all right. Now, when he was just this little cub, what she would do, she'd enter his cage, and she'd hold him like a baby, she said, and she'd give him his medicine. And that's how the relationship began. Now, Anna, she has a sanctuary staff at this time. She actually started her rescue shelter in 1984. She has her sanctuary staff of 10. And do you know they take care of more than 800 animals? Yes, 800 animals. Jaguars, camels, chimpanzees, flamingos, ostriches, crocodiles, bears. All of these animals were neglected. People wanted to buy them, and they think that they're cute, and they're fascinated by them. Well, these animals are wild, and they have different requirements than your typical kitty cat or dog. Well, all of the animals had been seriously neglected. Some of them had been dumped. Police confiscated some of them, because in Colombia, there are people that like to have their zoos, but they don't know how to take care of these animals. And these animals, again, they're small when they're little, and then they grow. Well, drug lords, apparently, in South America really have this attitude about having a zoo of exotic animals. And again, they haven't a clue as to how to take care of them. Anna Torres used to be a school principal. And this relationship that she has with Jupiter is absolutely amazing. I've got a photo of her in front of me. And this lion that is 550 pounds is up on its rear legs, has its paws over her shoulder. She's standing outside of his cage. And it's, you know, if he was a small cat, a little domestic cat, I've known cats to do this, to show their affection this way. But 550 pounds worth? Oh, my goodness. Well, this is what she does when she goes to visit Jupiter, because he's far too big. And, of course, he doesn't really realize the power that he's got. She will reach through the cage. Imagine yourself doing this. She grabs him and puts a kiss on his muzzle. That's when he gets up on his hind legs to his 6.5 feet, and she's substantially shorter than that, and he puts his forelegs around her and gives her a hug. She said this animal lets her know how much he cares for. Now, if you're like me and you saw the movie Born Free, I'm sure you can remember the emotions you had, the feelings you had about the wonderful lioness that had been saved in the story of this couple that rescued lions and took care of them. It was just a phenomenal story, and the music was awesome to that movie. But it really shows you how creatures do care, how creatures will relate to people. But again, Anna had to remember, and she still does remember, that this is a big guy. But what a story. And even at this time, the animal remembers, just like Elsie remembered with those that, that rescued her, the kindness and the thoughtfulness that's there. I think that when we can understand that the animal kingdom, even though it is wild in many respects and it's never totally ever going to be tamed, excepting in certain circumstances, the emotion is there. And if you ever hear of someone that says, animals don't have any feeling, they're just dumb animals, I got news for you. They are not. I had a very special experience once with a cat. I was over in a home. I was doing a private appearance. And this cat had been rescued. It was a house cat. It wasn't a lion. It was a house cat, and it had been rescued. And I had been doing many sessions with people all day long. Well, at the end of the day, I was sitting and visiting with this family that had had me come in to do this event, and a cat jumped up on my lap and was purring real strongly. The next thing I knew, this cat had put its paws on my shoulders, just like I mentioned this lion is doing with Anna Torres. It put its paws up on my shoulders, put its head up against my neck, and just purred. The owner was absolutely stunned. And then she told me the story about the cat. The cat had been rescued out of a dumpster when it was a kitten. It had been abandoned by its mother, and it had been born, obviously, in this dumpster. Well, the litter, most of it had died, excepting for this little person. But it had been separated from its mother so early that it never, ever could seemingly develop the habits that the mother would teach it, how to clean itself and so on and so forth. So when this woman adopted the cat, she said, we have had a real learning curve with this cat because we actually had to replace the mother and teach this cat how to be a cat because it had been separated from that training source, its own mother, too young. And she said, I've never seen this cat do this with anyone ever before. It was really an incredible experience. So when I saw this story by Anna, there was a very, very special relationship that I had. Now, for those of you listening, Jan Schwartz, who was to be my guest today, we were going to be talking about her book, The Last Summer with Oscar, which is a very personal story. We have been trying to reach her, and we have been unable to do so. So if at any time we do get a call, then we will be putting her online right away. I wanted to share with you also some facts, a little bit of information here. It's right in the theme of the Halloween feel that we've got, and it's about cemeteries. Yes, well, you know, Halloween wouldn't be Halloween without the creepy, creepy stuff of the cemeteries. And what I wanted to share with you is that there are special graveyards in the United States. Mm-hmm. And these are, well, I'm sure you've heard of a couple of them. One is the Graveyard for Planes. They call it the Airplane Boneyard. And I've got information in front of me showing an overview of all of these planes. It's absolutely incredible because they are lined up perfectly. And many of these planes are disassembled for parts that can be used in planes that are operational, and they also are disassembled for scrap metal. But they look like, from above, like headstones. And they have over, or maybe not over, but about 5,000 fighter planes that are occupying the 309th Aerospace Maintenance and Regeneration Group. This area, and I don't know how many acres it is, but it's just massive. It's located outside of Tucson, Arizona. And believe it or not, every once in a while, one of these planes is taken out of the graveyard, and they actually bring it back to life. And as I mentioned, some of them are used for scrap metal, and also they are used for parts, because just like classic automobiles, we always need to have those junkyards. If you have a classic and a part goes bad, you're hoping somewhere somebody has a vehicle that you can take that part off of to put onto what you've got. Also, there is another graveyard, and it's by Ben and Jerry's. Ah, yes, that wonderful company that puts out ice cream that just everybody loves to eat. They've got so many delicious flavors. Well, this is a flavor graveyard. And this is located in Waterbury, Vermont, and it's in dedication to those flavors, well, that the customers didn't like. Some of those flavors that just didn't have a long-term life, or making whoopee, and then O-Pear, P-E-A-R, and Urban Jumble. Yep. So they have that graveyard that is dedicated to those wonderful flavors that, well, the average person said, I don't think I want this. This just doesn't do it for me. And so they are honored in memoriam. Donna Sebo here. We're not able to reach Jan Schwartz, so I'm going to open up the phone lines. And if you'd like to give me a buzz, feel free to do so at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, all you need to do is sit back and relax, and I will give you information about yourself, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Because animals were going to be my theme this morning with Jan, I thought I would share with you a personal experience I had with a cheetah. Yes, a real-life cheetah. I had the opportunity to do a seminar in a community in Ohio. And while I was there, the person that had organized the seminar, on the day after I had done it, she had hosted me and she said, I would really like to take you to meet a woman. Now, the woman's name is Catherine. This lady has been born into a family of extreme wealth, and she inherited a massive amount of money. We went out to this lady's house, and to my amazement, what greeted me in her family room was a full-grown cheetah. I'm not making this up. This really, really happened to me. It was one of the most profound experiences that I have ever had. This animal is absolutely, the cheetah is absolutely magnificent. Well, the story about Catherine was fabulous. And I was able to get down on the floor and to pet the cheetah. It was a gentle animal. For those of you that you know about history, cheetahs were often the cats of royalty. They would be seen in courts. They often were given beautiful collars, and they were used in hunts. Why? Well, we all know why. They can go about 70 to 80 miles an hour at a full run, and they're magnificent to watch. Their speed is just incredible, and I was able to witness that too. Catherine had a very large piece of property in Ohio, and this woman had developed a passion for wild cats, especially for cheetahs. And cheetahs in the wild they always have a tough time. Any of your animals in the wild, they have a very difficult time surviving. They have to follow the food, and they are affected by so many circumstances, including other competitors for the same kind of food that they want, and they're always on the go. And it's very difficult for cheetah cubs in the wild to survive. So when they're able to rescue a cub or to work with a cub at all to try to continue the species, it's quite a challenge because they are very, very delicate animals, especially when they're babies. Well, as it turned out, there was a zoo who knew about Catherine, and she had gained a phenomenal reputation for being able to work with these wild cats. And Catherine had worked with cubs in the past, and the zoo had gotten this cub and said, "Catherine, the cub is dying. We just do not know what to do. And we understand that you have a magic touch. We'd love to have you come out." So the woman who was hosting me, and I'll call her Mary, Mary's husband just was not very interested in the wild cats at all. But Mary had developed a very strong bond with Catherine. And Catherine said, "Mary, why don't you come with me?" Well, her husband was a little bit curious. He said, "Well, why don't I go with you too?" So both Mary and her husband, I'll call him Don, went with Catherine to this zoo. And at the moment, I don't remember what zoo it was. And they go into the facility, and here is this baby cheetah. It's dying. It won't eat. It's just not responding. And there's just nothing that the zookeepers are able to do. And they're just frantic because they want to save the life of this cheetah. And Catherine walked in and she looked at the cat. She went over to the cat. The cat wouldn't respond to her. And so she was concerned. Now, Mary, her husband, Don, was not interested at all, but he became curious. What he did, he walked up to the cage that this baby cheetah was in. All of a sudden, the baby cheetah got up and looked at him. And Catherine responded immediately. She said, "Come on, Don, come in with me into the cage." And he looked at her like she was nuts. "I'm not going into the cage with a wild cat." She turned around, she looked at him. She said, "This animal has not responded to anybody else, but it has responded to you. I don't know why, but for this animal to live, I want you to go in that cage." Well, Don was a little frightened. Now, again, it's a baby cheetah, but it's still a wild cat. She said, "I will talk you through things. I cannot be close to you, so you need to go into the cage." And he did. And he went into the cage, and she said, "Now, what I want you to do, I want you to back yourself up against the wall of the cage, and then I want you to lower your body down slowly, not quickly." And so he did what she told him to do, and he was petrified, absolutely petrified, because being in a cage with a wild cat, his mind was just going 10,000 miles an hour. He did what she asked him to do. He moved down the back of the wall until he was sitting. And he did it slowly. This cub was at the opposite side of the cage. From the time he walked into the cage, the cub's eyes were focused on him, just dead on. It never lost its focus. And this cat started walking towards Don very, very slowly. It lowered its body down very slowly. Well, you can imagine, he's sitting there, he's sweating bullets, he doesn't know what's going on, and she said, "I want you to deep breathe, I want you to slowly exhale, this animal is not going to hurt you, I want you to look this animal straight in the eye." He did that. The next thing he knows is that this baby cheetah cub is sitting in his lap, curled up in his lap and purring so loudly that Catherine could hear him. So she said, "You just stay there." Well, here's Don with this baby cheetah who just wouldn't eat, was just not responding to anyone, in his lap and just right there. So he started to very gently pet the cat. Well, he did that, and the cat just wiggled around and just like, "Oh, thank you, thank you." So Catherine had one of the zookeepers pulled him aside and said, "I want to know the history of this cat." And he said, "Okay, I'll tell you." And it had come from another zoo. And the reason they had gotten this baby cheetah is because the keeper at that zoo, which had been hand-feeding the cheetah, was ill and could not take care of the animal anymore. So they said they shipped the cat to us. And she said, "That's it. Describe the man and what he looked like." And so he found out how the guy looked, and she said, "That's what it is." So she said to Don, she went back to him, and he's in the cage. She said, "We're going to bring in some food. We're going to bring in a bottle of formula. We're going to do this. We want you to feed this cat." Well, the cat started eating, and they figured out what was wrong with the baby cheetah. What was wrong is that it developed its wonderful bond with this other zookeeper. And when the zookeeper became ill, it pined. It pined for, it was dying because it was missing the person that it loved. Well, as it turned out, that cheetah that I was sitting on the floor with was that baby cheetah. Catherine, because she said their immune systems are very vulnerable, had brought it to her home in Ohio. Because she, in turn, as well as Mary's husband, developed a relationship with this cat. And so she kept it in her family room. Let me tell you, if you've ever been hit by the tail of a cheetah, you will never forget it. It hurts. But these experiences, when you have them with animals, whether it's a domestic animal or a wild animal, it changes your life. It makes you realize that you have a connection with nature, that we're all connected in a phenomenal way. And this cheetah, I watched Catherine do its special runs. She has an apparatus on her property where the cheetah would chase it, and it would get its exercise every day. What made me laugh, though, is that a cheetah doesn't have very much endurance. It can only do a short run at those high speeds, and then it has to rest. So after it would exercise, they'd put it in a van, and then they'd drive it back to where it needed to be. It was really a wonderful experience. And people like Catherine, I think she owned 25,000 acres of land in Africa. She had been able to buy it, and she created a cheetah sanctuary so that these animals would have a chance to survive. Life is so special. And when you have a chance again to interact with it, whether you are just appreciating nature out in the yard, or maybe you volunteer at a humane society, doing something like that, all of that makes a difference. Every bit of it makes a big difference. And it's so very, very important to appreciate and respect the world that we live in. And it is really a joy to me to find out how many children and young people and other people of all ages are deciding to be, well, a part of the repairing and healing of the environments that we have, because in some ways we haven't done such a good job. And to respect, honor, and appreciate the many species of life that are around us, because they give us gifts that we could never imagine. And I think one of the greatest gifts they give is the understanding of who we are and our place in the natural world, and that if we're going to survive, we have to honor and respect all other forms of life as well. This is Donna Sebo. I'm sorry we haven't been able to reach Jan Schwartz. I regret that, but I will share with you a couple of points out of her book when we come back. Also, I have got a marvelous, marvelous recipe for a pumpkin maple swirl cheesecake. If you're a person that loves cheesecakes and you want to do something different that very few people will consider doing. By golly, this recipe will do it. Also, I wanted to talk a bit about unnecessary surgery. This is something that I think, well, I really appreciate the fact that more and more information is coming out about this. Also, I've gotten some wonderful material on breast cancer, so I will be sharing a little bit of that too. This is Donna Siebel, and if you should decide you'd like to chat with me today, I would be delighted to do that. I'm broadcasting from downtown Anchorage, Alaska, where the weather is crisp and cool, and, well, not quite snow time, but it's coming close, and we will be chatting live in just a moment. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number for you to call in to. Donna Siebel here, 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. When women go in for a mammogram, it is an experience that can be a painful one. Mammograms, I know because I've had them, are not necessarily the most comfortable experience, and in my experience, sometimes they can be downright painful. Medicine is always an environment where there's a constant, ongoing, hopefully, progression of moving forward. Because of certain technology, we have been able to advance in being able to treat certain conditions. However, sometimes, well, we have to learn that maybe what we are doing is not the best thing to be doing. And that is what I came across in the way of information. There's a term, ductal carcinoma in situ. It's called DCIS. And there is quite a bit of information that is coming out. There is a publication called The New Scientist, where they're questioning a lot of procedures that have been done. And when you are open to information and you do your homework, you find that there are more and more people wanting to be informed, to be able to question doctors. Are procedures necessary? We've done a number of interviews on the show here with physicians that say, question, get second opinions, third opinions, because you might be surprised that none of them agree. And that is a concern. However, what is it coming about is that this particular kind of condition, it means that there could be some cancer cells contained within the breast milk ducts, and they've not invaded surrounding tissue. Now, they say this kind of a lesion is not harmful unless it gets past that stage and becomes invasive. But in today's world, apparently, they treat this just as aggressively as invasive cancer. But questions are coming up. Is this too extreme? What's happening here? Now, the statement was made in this material that I was reading that DCIS could be regarded as a creation of modern medicine. Why is it a creation of modern medicine? Well, nobody even diagnosed it. 30 years ago, it wasn't possible. They couldn't even see it. It's because of technology that we are able to see things. But what they're concerned with is that the screening is causing doctors to cut out lumps that if they were leave them alone, they'd be just fine. And doctors themselves are asking the question, are we helping people by diagnosing it, or are we making things worse? Now, that question actually was posed by Beth Vernig. Now, she monitors cancer surveillance and detection at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And she said, in the past, breast cancer used to be discovered only if it formed a noticeable lump or caused some other symptoms, like a discharge from the nipples. And they say, since we have developed mammograms, breast cancer is more commonly found. So more and more of these DCIS cases are being detected. Here in the U.S., the incident of discovery has grown more than sixfold since the 1980s. And they're finding that this condition makes up about a quarter of breast cancer cases found through screening. So we know, those of us that have gone through this, that often a biopsy, they want to do a biopsy this. And she said they want to remove the lump, and then they'll often, if they discover this, they want to do a mastectomy. Well, for those of you that are aware of family members that have gone through this, and I am aware of it, it is horrific. A mastectomy to me is just totally barbaric. But she said, why do we put women through mastectomies when there's something here that's not going to kill them? We don't need to do that. Now, she had herself, this is the reason why she's questioning, and she said it was discovered by the doctor that the affected tissue was more widespread than they thought, and they hadn't cut out enough. So she went back and had a mastectomy. And she said the zero-tolerance approach to the DCIS is based on the assumption that given the chance, it will progress to invasive cancer. She said, but yet no one knows how often that assumption is correct. So there are so many things that happen. And as people, what can we do? Well, I think we need to question. We need to really, really ask questions. What if? Is this absolutely necessary? And she said, it's absolutely amazing how every situation is so uniquely different, and you have to treat it accordingly. One of the things that they bring out with breast cancer is how estrogen affects it, and that three-quarters of breast cancer is fueled by estrogen. She said there may be a way of avoiding surgery. So I encourage you, there is a wonderful write-up in the Reader's Digest for November of this year. I encourage you to read information on this. If you have women in your family, various ages, the fear of breast cancer is just so widespread. We need to educate ourselves so that we can become more aware of perhaps options that we can work with and come from a positioning not of fear, but from a positioning of being able to ask informed questions. So I really encourage you to have the women in your life not just trust what somebody else says, because they need to find out more. They need to ask what has been detected, what type of cancer it is. Do you know that there's, my goodness, 300, 600 different kinds of breast cancer? I didn't know that. I learned that about 10, 15 years ago. I was one of those women, for all of the material that I read, you know, the word cancer, you just lump it into one little box. You think that's it. But every type of cancer that they discover has its own particular personality, if you will. So don't be afraid to question. Don't be afraid to ask, what is it they've discovered? Give you a name. And then let's do some homework. Find out what you can do. And don't let fear overcome you. This goes for anything related to that, because too often there are surgeries that are not necessary, that are performed, and there may be alternative options that can be worked with. Don't be afraid to ask the question. Just a little bit of trivia about the human body, which I think is an awesome, awesome machine, because it is complete living intelligence, as long as it's operational. Fingerprints. We all know that fingerprints are so unique to each and every one of us. However, why do we have them? How do they evolve? What is the reason for it? Well, do you know there's a lot of people that have speculated on these questions, and they say they think the ridges on your fingers actually make it harder to hold flat, smooth surfaces like a plexiglass, because they reduce the skin's contact area. This opinion came out because people were saying, well, you've got the ridges there for a grip. They think that prints, our fingerprints, might help wick water off of our fingertips or allow our skin to stretch more easily, which can protect it from damage and help prevent blisters. Others say that fingerprints can improve our sense of touch. What do you think? The truth is they haven't figured it out yet, and they probably never will. What I find so interesting is that even if you cut yourself, something happens, those fingerprints grow right back in the same patterning. Remember, hardcore criminals like Dillinger and others tried to burn off their fingerprints so that they could not be found when they decided they wanted to have brand new identities. Did it work? I think to a point. But that, then, is another story. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight at 888-627-6008. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the witching hour of Halloween, and I'm going to be sharing some fun stories on Monday, Washington, D.C., ghosts, legends, and lore. Ashley Rooney is a researcher. She and an associate put together all of this information. She lives in that area. And it's just, oh my goodness, loaded with all kinds of special experiences. So we'll be talking about Lincoln's ghost and many others. You'll enjoy it. Then next week also, we're going to be talking about the creative genius that's within each and every one of us. Al Dali is going to be my guest. Nick Redfern also will be talking with the weirdest places on the planet. Yes, we're going to be visiting them via radio airwaves. And then Lou Paradise is going to be my guest. We are going to be discussing health issues, giving you information that educate and inform you and make you aware that you have power over your own life. And then we're going to have a surprise guest on the 26th, and that information will be forthcoming. And I invite you to tell your friends about the show and to join us for an hour of mind power that gives you the best of what is currently known from experts and persons that have had special experiences from around the world. I promised you a wonderful recipe for a pumpkin maple swirl cheesecake. And this is something, this would go any time of the year, but in my mind, fall and winter are wonderful months to create specialties that, well, might be considered a little bit too heavy during the rest of the year, during summertime, and even in spring. We seem to be appreciative of a lighter fare in our food choices, but this just is magical, and it makes a wonderful, wonderful dessert. And it's going to, well, it serves about 16 people, so this is a little slice. Now, these are the ingredients that you're going to need. You need 26 ginger snap cookies. And the reason you want this is because the ginger snaps have that wonderful flavor, that wonderful spiciness that really blends well with the pumpkin flavor. So you're going to need 26, about 1.5 cups of those ginger snap cookies crushed, and you want to make it a fine crush, so just zap it in your food processor real quickly. Then you're going to need a quarter of a cup plus 1 2/3 cups plus 2 tablespoons of sugar. Now, I'll explain why it has to be divvied up that way. A quarter of a cup plus 1 2/3 cups plus 2 tablespoons of sugar. Then you're going to need 6 tablespoons of butter melted, 6 tablespoons of butter melted, 4 packages, 8 ounces each, of cream cheese, and that should be at room temperature. Actually, all your ingredients should be at room temperature. 5 eggs, a cup of sour cream. Don't skimp on the sour cream. Don't use the fat-free or the low-fat. Use the real stuff. The flavor difference is wonderful. 2 tablespoons of cornstarch. 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 1/2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. You need one can, a 15-ounce can of pumpkin puree, and you need a quarter of a cup of pure maple syrup. Use the real stuff. Don't use the imitation because you will find the flavor difference is too significant. You want the pure maple syrup. Then you need 2 teaspoons of pumpkin pie spice, and if you want more of a spicy flavor to it, double it. But 2 teaspoons of pumpkin pie spice, you need 1 cup of heavy cream, and then if you can find it, sometimes it's not easy to find, if you can find some marzipan pumpkins and maple leaf candies, you might want to use that or some other kind of marzipan as a decoration because it really is a nice complement to this. But you don't have to have it, but you can have that, and it just adds that wonderful, wonderful decorative touch. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to have the racks in your oven in the center and lower third of the oven. The oven is to be preheated to 325 degrees. So that's all done and prepared. You need a 9 by 3 inch springform pan, and you want to spray that with cooking spray. Now, this is what you start with. Your cookie crumbs and a quarter of a cup of sugar. You just stir that together quickly. Add in the melted butter, and then you put that into the bottom and 1 inch up the side of your springform pan. You don't want it all the way up, just 1 inch up. You bake that in the oven for about 10, 12 minutes because it needs to set. Take it out of the oven, put it aside. Then you take and put a roasting pan filled halfway with water on your lower oven rack. That's right. A roasting pan filled halfway with water on the lower oven rack. Now, you start working with your cream cheese. You're going to beat your cream cheese and your 1 2/3 cups of sugar until it's light and fluffy. That's going to take about 3 minutes. So just put your mixer on and just let it do the work. And occasionally, just go and scrape the sides of the bowl so that everything is mixed well. After 3 minutes, then what you want to do on a low speed, you beat in your eggs one at a time. Once that's incorporated in well, then you want to put in your sour cream and then your cornstarch and a teaspoon of vanilla. Let that mix on a low speed. And once that's mixed in, turn your speed up to medium and beat it for about 1 to 2 minutes until the entire mixture is silky smooth. What you're going to do is take 3 cups of your batter, put it in a separate bowl, and in that batch, you put the pumpkin maple syrup and pumpkin pie spice, and then you're going to mix that until it's smooth. And the remaining batter, the plain batter, you pour that into your crust. The batter you have mixed the pumpkin into, you take that and you take big spoonfuls of the batter, put it over the plain batter, and then with your knife, once you've taken all that out of the bowl, with a knife, create your swirls in the batter. And you're going to then take your pan, your springform pan, filled with all of these delicious ingredients. You put that in the center of the top oven rack, and you bake it for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Or after 1 hour and 15 minutes, just check the pan, and if the center jiggles just a very little bit, it's cooked to the right level. You turn your oven off, and you let the cake, your cheesecake, sit in the oven with the door closed for 1 hour. let it be. When that time frame has ended, you bring the cake out, run a knife around the edge, and don't take it out, obviously. It's too hot. But you let it cool on a rack, and you want to refrigerate it overnight. So this is something you want to fix the day before. And when the time comes for you to serve, you just remove the side of your pan and then beat up your cream with your remaining 2 tablespoons of sugar and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla until it's got those nice stiff peaks. Go and put the whipped cream on top of it. You can use a pastry bag if you want to create some really pretty patterns with whipped cream. You can do that, piping the whipped cream along the edge of the cake. And then you can garnish it with your marzipan and candies. Oh, you're going to get oohs and ahs from this one. Yes, it takes a little bit of work, but oh, it's so good. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Winston Churchill, a man of history, which we all are familiar with. He was a character, and he was a big-time character. And whether you liked him or you didn't like him, he was quite an interesting man. Not only was he a very good artist, but he was a man that was so unique. He came out of one of those boxes of personality that was just totally unique to him. And there's been so much written about Winston Churchill, but I had no idea that he is a man that developed a one-piece suit. Yes, I came across that information, and I was so surprised. Winston Churchill, someone once described him as a pig clad in a silk vest, because he just was round as a barrel. He was just really an odd-looking character. He wasn't a handsome man, just an odd character, and he enjoyed being odd. He didn't mind that. He just said, this is who I am. And he always had these unique habits. Well, during the Second World War, because of everything that was going on, and sometimes one had to respond to emergency situations, I was unaware of the fact that he designed a one-piece suit with all kinds of zippers. He could get in and out of that suit and nothing flat. And the staff that he had, after he started wearing it on a regular basis, called the suit his rompers. And he called it his siren suit, because he had it set up by his bed that if an air raid siren went off, he would get into it immediately. Now, what happened is that a company Henry Poole and Company of Seville Row worked with his design and delivered them. And it became quite popular. And if you've ever been inclined to get what's called a jumpsuit, I think the jumpsuit may have come from that. This is just a little bit about fashion style. And I remember how much I enjoyed jumpsuits until I had to go to the bathroom, and then that was really a chore and a half. But that was something that came about. The design came about because of necessity. What could you put on a one-piece suit? And who knew that Churchill had a designing touch? And it worked, and it got expanded and went into other areas as well. And I wanted to also share something with you. Sometimes when we're parents, we wonder if the lessons we have taught our children really resonate. Thoughtfulness, compassion, and kindness is something we always want our children to be able to express. And I came across a story by Dot McAveeny, and she said, "It really meant a lot to me when I saw what my daughter did. She was with her daughter and her grandchildren at a fast food restaurant. And she said, we were in this restaurant, and we overheard two teenage boys talking in front of us, and they were deciding what they wanted to order. They had $7 between them, these two boys did, and they decided, well, we're going to get a burger, and we'll split it. She said, my daughter leaned over, spoke to the young boys, and said, order whatever you'd like, it's on me. Well, these two young men were just shocked. They said, ma'am, we have jobs, but our payday is still a few days off. And her daughter said, it's no problem. I'm happy to pay for your hamburgers. Go ahead and order what you want. Well, this mother said this meant so much to her. She said it's so important to remember that thoughtfulness and kindness goes a long way. And then another individual dealt with trust. And this was a trust where she was buying something. She was buying something at an open public market. And she found a sweater she just loved, and she pulled out a credit card. That's what we all do, right? And the lady said, I'm sorry, but I don't have a credit card merchant status. I'll take a check or cash. And then this lady said, oh, my goodness, I don't have my checkbook. The woman said, why don't I give you this sweater? Would you mail me the check for it? This is what it would be plus tax. Well, this lady was just stunned. She said, oh, I would be pleased to be able to. Thank you so much for trusting me. She said, I trust you. And the woman went home, and she said, how many merchants would do that? Would say, here, take the product. I trust you to mail me a check. She said, not only did I mail her a check, but I wrote her a beautiful thank you note. And she said, it really made me aware there are a lot of good people there, and trust is something that really does exist. This is Donna Sebo. I'm here in Anchorage, Alaska. I'll be broadcasting with you live on Monday from Anchorage. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a phenomenally wonderful weekend. Talk to you again on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.